Good morning, everyone. Good morning and welcome to our worship services for Becker United Methodist Church as well as our church in Kemp, First United Methodist Church Kemp. This is our combined online worship that we've been doing for the last several weeks. We are here again this Sunday morning. It is June 14th, second Sunday after Pentecost. And as you, as a reminder, as you're coming in on watching along, watching our feed, if you'll just make sure that you put in a comment to let us know that you're there and that you're watching, and sure would appreciate that. It's kind of how we've been trying to keep a little bit of, at least some kind of numbers on our attendance and who's been able to come and attend. So I'm glad everybody's who is getting on this morning. I hope they had a wonderful weekend, and I'm glad to see you as you guys are logging in. Good morning to you as well. Those of you that are logging in and getting ready to begin our worship service. As far as announcements go, we have one announcement that I wanted, or two. One is following our worship service today at 1 o'clock, we're going to have a Zoom meeting for our church council. So if you're on that and need to be included in that, those discussions, or want to be, if you'll reach out directly to me after or send me an email, I can forward you that information if you don't already have it. You should have it if you're already named to the council in some leadership position. So this is for the First Kemp Church, not the Becker Church. I'm trying to keep those separate for now, but I do need to set up one with the Becker Church. So those folks that are jumping on from Becker, just to let you know, we do need to start beginning to discuss some of the same things we'll be discussing here with regard to planning for us to come together again in face-to-face worship time.
The second
announcement is Bible study still cranking up on Wednesdays, 7 o'clock in the evenings. We're using Zoom as the platform for that, but you can also just call in and dial in through the dialogue, the call-in numbers, and participate over the phone if that's more comfortable for you, or if you have a computer and good internet connectivity, or a smartphone and good internet connectivity, then and you want to join with video, or you could just join with the phone as well and no video. There's no judgment zone there, and so we will. But would love to have you, and if you need the information for our Bible study, again, just reach out to me via email, and I'll forward you that information. Again, my email is pastordavid@att.net, and that would be how you reach me directly. If you ever need to call me, I'll go ahead and give you that number, too. What is it? Oh, 972-935-3874. Drawing a blank on my own phone number there. Apologize for that. But that's my direct dial, or you can leave a message at the church. Which I don't remember the church's number. That's not good, but I'll remember it for next week. If there's no other announcements, which I guess you could type it in the comments, if you have any other announcements that I might have forgot, just please put them in the comments right there. And I will definitely make sure we get those out to the folks that need to get those announcements. Other than that, we can start our worship service this morning, so please join us in our centering words. Or listen to our centering words, and then you can join me in our call to worship. Laugh with Sarah as life grows within the womb of an old woman. Stand in amazement with the crowds as illiterate fishermen perform the miracles of God. Forget what you think you know. Expect miracles, for with God, anything is possible. Call to the Lord who hears our prayers.
Sing to the Lord who delights in our songs.
Wait for the Lord, the source of our hope.
Worship the Lord who is worthy of our praise.
Worthy indeed, for sure. Our opening prayer begins with, God of wondrous love, your miracles always catch us by surprise. When our time of blessing comes, may we laugh with Sarah and dance with Abraham. When our bodies are touched by your healing grace, may we bow before your throne of glory. Come to us now as we gather to worship, that we might be touched by your Spirit and made whole by your grace. If you'll continue with me and join me in our affirmation of faith, it is the Apostles' Creed in the United Methodist Hymnal, is number 881 in the back. I've added it here for us to read along. So if you have the order of worship, please join me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Amen. And it is time for probably some of your all's favorite time. It's the children's message from my wife, Kim, who's going to lead us there. And Kim?
Hey, good morning, guys. I can't wait to see you soon. And I hope that you're having a good start to your summer. The heat is definitely kicking up, and people are getting outside more. So I hope you're being able to go outside and enjoy the weather some. Last week, Connor graduated high school, which was really exciting, and it was wonderful for us to be there. But a lot of people have been sending him cards and gifts and things, and we've been teaching him the art of writing thank you notes and telling everyone thank you. And it made me think this week that I should talk to you guys about saying thank you and something that we don't do enough. There's people that help us every day, grandparents and teachers and community workers like the mailman or the garbage men, or our neighbors that help us. And I just really wanted you to think this week, is there somebody that you could write a thank you note to? Is there someone that you could bake cookies and take them to, or to do something just to say, I appreciate you? Someone that you could call and say, you know, it meant a lot to me that you prayed for me and you talked to me during this time. And just really think about and reflect on who you can say thank you to during this time of need and us being distanced. To just let them know that it really does matter what they do for you and that you really do appreciate it. So that's my homework for you this week, is to think of someone that you can bake something for or send a card to or call. Just let them know that you're thankful for them. And don't forget God, of course. And the way we thank God is by doing things that we should be doing, by helping others, and by praying. So let's pray a prayer of thanks now with him. Dear God, we love so much all of the things you've given to us, the air, the trees, our family, our friends, all the gifts that you give us daily. Please help us to remember who it comes from and who we are and how much we are loved. And in this way, let us say thank you to you for all the gifts, mercy, grace, gentleness that you give us every day. We thank you and love you always. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Kim. Appreciate that. We are, as she steps away to join our live feed and listen along, and so she can add comments in and response to your comments if need be on my behalf. She's such a great person and helper in that respect. I appreciate her so much. I want to remind us that it is time for our tithes and offerings. And many of us have, if you're like me anyway, you've been sending in your offerings faithfully, and I appreciate that. I know the church really appreciates it. We can be able to continue to prepare the church for, you know, reopening. We also can continue to prepare for a lot of other things with regard to what we need to do as far as community outreach, which our main source right now at First Camp anyway is through the Labor of Love Food Pantry. There's been other requests that have come here and there, and we've been trying to meet those needs as we can and provide for those who in our communities may be in need. So we do want to say thank you for those gifts that are able to reach you know, those folks locally in our local communities, as well as through our connection with the greater United Methodist Church, in order that we are able to continue to share God's word and his mission throughout the world. So it is a blessing for us to be a part of that mission and that outreach, and it is a blessing to be able to do that with regard to the gifts that you provide. A couple of different ways. The P.O. Box for Becker UMC is P.O. Box 92, And that is at Kemp, Texas, 75143. And then the First UMC Kemp is at P.O. Box 327, Kemp, Texas, 75143. And we also have a PayPal account set up for the First United Methodist Church of Kemp if you'd like to donate electronically. And you can send those through to us at at fumckemp@gmail.com. That's the letter F, the letter U, M, C, Kemp, K-E-M-P, at gmail.com. And those electronic gifts will also be able to be received and added to the gifts each week. So just one other thing about the PayPal, you must have a PayPal account set up already in order to, you know, send that money that way. So appreciate all of that. Let's bow for a word of prayer and ask God to continue to provide those blessings for us. And say thank you for those blessings as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for these gifts that you've given to us that provide for our family, that provide for our sustenance in the world, where we may purchase food that is necessary, that we may be able to provide gifts to others as necessary. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to be a part of this giving back of a small portion of what you have given to us so abundantly, Lord, that we know that through the gifts that we return, it's how your great works are done and how you're glorified throughout the world, and your name can be known, that there is one true God that we all serve and we all worship. And Lord, we just ask that you bless these gifts and these offerings. We ask these things in your Son Christ Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So our message today, I feel like I'm rushing, and I'll try not to when I get to the message part, the heart of that anyway, and try to go a little bit slower. But our message today is Matthew 9:35 through 10:8. As I'm pulling up my Bible to get ready to read these scriptures to you, this passage, I do want to say the message, I really kind of focused on the first part, but I do want to read the whole thing because I think it's an important passage that we could all, you know, glean a little bit more about, you know, how even Jesus was having or was speaking to his disciples about what their responses should be, right? So 9:35, chapter 9, verse 35, and then we'll go through chapter 10, verse 8. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, and cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You have received without payment. Give without payment." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So as I was saying in my, I guess my short little introduction, I'm really probably just going to focus on the first few verses really from chapter 9, but I wanted us to hear the whole message of this passage because there's that last statement too that I think is important for us to consider when it says you've received without payment, So therefore give without payment. So I'm going to start our message today, and I want to remind you, I think I've probably already said this once anyway, so it's not really a reminder, but I want to let you know kind of where I'm at with the with what is turning into a major home makeover for us. We started with a couple of small projects when the shutdown happened to kind of say, well, I have a little extra time now that I'm not commuting to downtown and things of that nature, and I have opportunities as the days are getting longer to do more around the house and do some things. And so one of the projects we've been doing is this what's turned into a pretty large project is our kitchen. We went ahead and got some new cabinets made, and we had new countertops installed, and I've been working on the backsplash and all these things, and I had to rewire some plugs and all sorts of stuff. But this home makeover that's kind of coming into, turning into one or two small projects, is turning into this, like I said, this kind of major thing. And the reason why I was wanting to mention it is because what spoke to me out of today's passage was when Jesus is quoted speaking to his disciples, telling them that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. And I don't want to compare my little home makeover to, you know, the mission of the church, but I can empathize with that part of the phrase that Jesus was telling them or saying to his disciples, where he says the laborers are few. When thinking of the long list of things that I still need, that still are needing attention around our home, to bring this, you know, makeover process to a completion, and you're the only person that really kind of can do those things. I get how limited my time is and how limited the resources are when it comes to laborers. Now, it's not to say that I couldn't teach my family how to do some of these things. I know they're very smart and they could learn just like I have over the years. But there's a couple of obstacles that make that transition, that smooth transition of knowledge to my son, for example, or to my wife, or even my daughter. And here's what they are. So one such example I want to give you, kind of this example, is that most of the time when I do a home improvement project or I'm working to fix something, home repair or something, I usually learn or figure it out by trial and error. And so when you're trying to teach somebody some skill sets and you're really not sure how to do it exactly yourself, you see, that might be an obstacle on how well you can actually teach them to feel confident about doing some things. One example is the backsplash that we're putting in. I had mentioned this. My wife and I both, we made the decision to go with, you know, some solid, small Subway-looking tiles. And as we're getting ready to start putting those on the wall and placing them, you know, with the thin-set mortar and all those fun, wonderful things, you know, I have done tiling before. In fact, I did our bathroom floor and our shower stall. But that was the one and only time I've ever done tiling. And so we decided to pick a pattern rather than just regular Subway-style stacking and staggering and making it look kind of really nice and clean. We decided to go with a herringbone pattern, which is more of an interlocking, staggered, for lack of a better term, you know, V's or upside downs, M's and whatever. It was just this kind of interlocking pattern over and over, like a herringbone necklace, if you're familiar with that. Makes it a little more difficult. And when you're only, this is the second time you actually have a tiling project, I would not necessarily recommend we're going a herringbone, but this is where I am. So, you know, it took a little longer than I expected to get the one side of that kitchen done. I plan to have the other side of the kitchen done this week, so we are making progress, but it's kind of hard to teach my son or, hey, come here, let me show you how to, you know, use this tool when I'm trying to figure out how to make the cuts myself with the tile saw that I have and some of the tight corners that we're having to work in around the cabinets that have been installed. And so it's that trial and error piece that I think that might be a hindrance, right? another great example when it comes to that is we had to replace some plugs, some outlets, and this is going to speak to kind of the willingness of them wanting to learn, especially from somebody who teaches by trial and error. These outlets I was replacing, great little time there. You know, we're trying to figure out the circuit box, the breaker box, and turn off this. So I've got a, you know, Kim in the kitchen, and she's got the toaster in one plug and the lamp in another, and I'm flipping switches till she says, okay, they both went off. And I said, okay, great. Well, I go in there and I start to replace the first socket, and trial and error again. It takes me 3 or 4 times to figure out how to rewire the source and the load wiring when it comes into the back of a plug. I've only done it the one time, so I was learning as I was going. I get to the third one, and I go and I grab that plug, and I get a real nice 110-volt shock. And just something to wake me up. And the funny thing there is, there were 3 plugs, right? So we had 2 of them plugged in with something. The third plug, I just assumed, was on the same circuit. And you shouldn't assume those things. So luckily I wasn't electrocuted, but I came close. But there's this willingness to on. Okay, sorry about that interruption. I hope I'm back on live with you. I hope you're still watching. Had a little blip with my wonderful Wi-Fi. So I switched. I'm off the Wi-Fi, so hopefully the cellular network keeps working well for us. But anyway, back to my story. I got a shock from the plug. The thing we learned was, or I learned quickly, was 2 outlets. You really need to have 3 things plugged in, or check that third one before you go grabbing onto it. So there's that willingness to want to learn from somebody who goes by trial and error. And it's really kind of dumb luck. I haven't really hurt myself when I'm doing these types of projects. And there is this thought of you know, I know my family is behind me doing the work. They enjoy that I enjoy doing these things, but they know all the behind-the-scenes stories. I've just shared a couple. And knowing those stories about what I might have done, or how many times I might get a cut on a thumb, or I smash it with something because I'm not paying attention, I get the understanding of why the willingness to learn is another obstacle when it comes to learning some of these little things. And so the laborers are few. And I go back to that understanding that Jesus, what he means to tell his disciples that the laborers are few, right? These are the details I'm telling you about my somewhat questionable home improvement practices, of course, because our church is in an unprecedented situation right now. And we're in this point I was just thinking about this the other day when I was putting this together. I think today, the 14th, now marks right at 90 days since we have gathered together in our sanctuaries. We're face-to-face and have shared in worship time face-to-face together over the last 3 months, basically. It's this 90-day span. That is 1/4 of the year. And for many of us, that has had a very negative impact on our spiritual well-being, including myself. As you know, I'm the kind of person that really likes to be there with you. I like to, I get energized, I get recharged when I'm around those that I care about and that care about me. And and so it's been tough when my footprint of being able to get recharged is my own family. Not that they don't want to be there for me, but you know, my wife doesn't necessarily recharge with everybody around. In fact, the way she is able to continue to get herself up and moving is she actually goes to work, because when she goes to work outside the home delivering groceries, she has a lot of downtime or free time to herself between leaving the home, going to the grocery store. In the grocery store, she's around other people, but then groceries loaded up and the delivery process. So she gets a lot of time to think and recharge and regroup to herself when she's actually out working, which is kind of this funny little difference between our personalities and how we can gather and strengthen ourselves. And so for many of us, being apart, if you're like me, it's been tough. Also for many of us, without the opportunities to continue to serve in our normal capacity in the church, that's been tough too, because we have a hard time understanding what might be or how we can continue when, you know, we don't have our normal or what we feel is our normal time. You know, there's many of you that teach Sunday school to our young ones or the adults, and those of you that are involved in those ministries, you're missing out on some of that opportunity and those touch points weekly. And I'm sure you're wondering, well, where else can I serve and what else can I do? And if you're, and I think this is where, as a church, and understanding the things about when we come together, there's going to be opportunities that we're going to have a need more than ever for those laborers, those too few laborers that we currently have, to be stretched and to be tested so that we can expand our ministries again, especially as we start this afternoon, as I said, start planning to think about ways and what we need to do and questions we need to answer in order to say that we can meet and greet safely and that we can worship together in a safe manner. The part of the thought of us gathering together, the first rule of order or point of business has to be that we do no harm. That comes from our Wesleyan heritage, and and we need to think about what that means for us, right? Understanding that when we get back together, not doing any harm, that that means we're probably not going to be able to worship the same way we always have. Some things are going to have to change. Music ministries, for example, at larger churches are going to be interrupted because choirs are not going to be able to sing together without some sort of social distance spacing. There is concern even whether or not our church congregations should sing, even with social distancing. How we would do that safely. We're probably going to have to wear masks and when we come in, just as we're around each other, just to be making sure that whatever, you know, if we have to sneeze or a cough, that it's not going to impact somebody else by spreading, you know, whatever we may have. And if, even if it's just allergies, you know, if you've gone out in public lately and somebody sneezes, even with a mask or not a mask, you know, the first thing you think of is, whoa, right? Because are they sick? Or, you know, in the last few days, I've been struggling with allergies. And I've been sneezing a lot myself, and as you can hear, it's in my throat too. And so I'm coughing and I'm sneezing, and these these wonderful little things that come with just seasonal allergies make me even think, well, you know, I need to be careful when I'm out in public. So when we get back together and we worship together, you know, we're going to have to think about some of the things that we're going to have to change. How many people and what rooms can we actually meet? Is there enough space to give social distancing or at least safe distancing? Is there enough space to for us to still gather and be able to worship together as families? But you know, where will we be sitting? We might have to sit in a different place. Who's going to clean up after this as we go in and between every service? These are opportunities now that are kind of new to our worship reality, both the preparation of and the cleanup thereafter, that we need to consider. And who are the laborers that can fill those roles for us? Certainly, as we consider coming back together, we also need to think about, you know, is it safe for me as an individual to come, right? Do I have some sort of pre-existing issue and am I in the high-risk category or pool? Should I be coming to service and worshiping together if, in fact, I might be at a greater risk for contracting the COVID-19 virus? Well, I would say no. And that's yet another hard decision because that means your separation, your isolation may continue. And that becomes a problem for us as we think about how we can have some folks coming back together, where they can meet, how we can do it safely, and then what that worship service is really going to look like and feel like if we're not including music anymore, if we're not including some of the other things that we traditionally do or could do, like our meet and greet time. How about this one? I know, how do we gather and break bread? Like, and I don't just mean Holy Communion, right? We're Methodists, and we love to have our potlucks, and we love our potato luncheons and all those good things. We leave our snacks and everything during gathering time before worship. These are the things that we need to ask when it will be safe for us to do those things as well, to reincorporate that back into the life of the church. Whatever we are doing, or we need to think about what other alternatives there are as well. But whatever we are doing, we need to consider how we do it more safely. And this is in the order that we, again, to do no harm and to minimize our face-to-face contact, right? We still want to be together. I think I passed this on. Kim and I drove down and ran through Kemp, had to grab some stuff from church a few weeks back, and we just saw one of our parishioners, our friends, basically one of our friends standing in their front yard, and we got and stopped and wanted to talk, and it was an emotional moment. When we think about how long it's been, you know, a few weeks ago to say, just to say hi and do it from, 10 feet across her yard, it was, that was even an emotional moment. And those are the things that we're not sure how we're, going to react for the first time, I think, when we can finally gather safely. So I want us to think about, how do we do this? How do we do it in a safe manner? How can I become a part of that new normal, or that new response to how we worship? Again, we are in this time where we are at this unprecedented moment in our church's history. What does a ministry look like? We've started this online ministry. Well, do I want that to end after we start gathering face-to-face? I think not. I think there's still an opportunity for us to use some sort of medium, whether it is Facebook Live or another way that we can record, video record our messages, and then continue to get that distributed out to those parishioners and congregation and loved ones of ours and friends and families that can't make it on Sundays. We need to continue that. So we're looking for laborers to do that. If that's a skill set of yours, you know a lot about AV and tech, come see me or let me know, because this is going to be a big part of our reopening process and how we do that. These are all the things that we need to consider when we're also trying to continue to serve the communities in which we live and where we are located. And yes, I believe Jesus when he told his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. I believe that statement wholeheartedly, especially the part about the harvest is plentiful. But we also need to believe, Jesus, that we must ask the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers. This is our time as we begin to challenge ourselves and prepare ourselves for when we can come back together, that we need to do that prayerfully and consider, what is God maybe calling me, or how is God maybe calling me to serve in this new normal of what our worship services will be like? How do we incorporate Sunday school classes again? How do we incorporate other things? Like I said, some of the other ministries that we used to provide. I'm hoping we can just reopen at some point and just not have to worry about it, but I think we'll always worry about it from now on. So I challenge us each this week to be in prayer. Not just this week, but the weeks to come as we are beginning this planning process. Specifically, we need to be praying about our planning on reopening the churches for in-person or face-to-face worship services, and how we can be one of those laborers that makes this able or all possible, and we're able to do this and allow it to happen. That's our prayer request this week that I'd love for you guys to join me in. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Again, I apologize for our technical difficulties. We come to our time of prayer, though, and pastoral prayer time. So if you have anything, as Kim's put out there, we need to continue to lift up those new concerns. I think I saw some emails and that I hadn't had a chance. I just read them this morning to update. I'd already sent this out, our prayer concerns for each of the churches. But I will make those updates for this upcoming week, but I know we had a couple of joys of some prayers answered that we can share in that blessing and see that as those names are continuing to be lifted up and then continuing to be prayed for, and then the best part is it gets answered and it's a joy. So that's a wonderful opportunity in the life of our church, so I just ask that we continue to think about that. So Dorothy Bess has knee surgery. Lord, hear our prayer. Good morning, Ms. Barn. We're in our prayer time. If you have a prayer concern, please go ahead and lift that up. Diana Clemo, I hope I'm saying that correctly. Lord, hear our prayer. As I begin our prayer time, if you have some others that you'd like to lift up, go ahead and type them into the comments and we'll get those added to our list. But I will begin our pastoral prayer. Father, we come to you today. We say thank you. I always like to say thank you, and it's a great reminder to hear Kim's children's message today, reminding us that thanks is so important in our societies and how we, our relationships, and how we can show one another respect and appreciation for all that people we do for each other. And Lord, what's more important is all the good things that we have to offer to others. They all come from you. You're the source of that. So we want to say thank you for that. We want to say thank you for what you provide to us, not just monetarily, Lord, but physically, the gifts that you give us that allow us to be a part of ministries of the church, good health. Maybe it's a specific skill set in a knowledge area that allows us to do some things or expand our ministries, and we say thank you for that. Father, we say thank you for this opportunity to even continue to worship through the technologies that are available to us today. Father, beyond all those things that we're so thankful for, we're most thankful for your Son. Father, we have concerns, though. We have new concerns. We have joys as well that have been answered, but we have new concerns, Lord, that we're lifting up to you. The names that have been brought and put forth in our comments, Lord, we ask that there's healing and that for the one. We also ask that there is a good results for the procedure that's coming up for our other name. So, Father, we know that these folks are really being lifted up and being cared for by your healing hands, Lord. So we just ask that you continue to do that. Father, we ask that you help us as we plan for where we're going to go as a church and how we're going to continue to be able to worship together and rejoin in face-to-face worship. Lord, we ask that you bless those planning meetings, that you give us the ideas and the right answers that allow us to continue to come together and join again as one body in Christ there in each of those church locations, both at Kemper and at Kemp or and at Becker. And Father, we just ask that you be with us as we go this week, and we are able to find ways that we can minister to those around us that we have interaction with as we go from our day-to-day, doing all the tasks that we have for normal, or as normal as we can be, grocery shopping, or if we have to commute into work and do those things, then Lord, we ask that you help us to do that safely and protect us while we are there. And more importantly, and not just more importantly, but also as importantly, help us to protect those that we interact with each day. Father, we ask all these things in your Son, Christ Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power. Our hymn is number 389. If you happen to have your own copy of the United Methodist Hymnal, good, good. If not, I did provide it on page 3 of our worship service, order of worship. We'll sing verse 1 and 2, and the chorus is a repeat there. And then we'll come back and have our benediction. So number 389 in the United Methodist Hymnal is Freely, Freely. God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name I come to you to share his love as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. All the power is given in Jesus' name, in earth and heaven, in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name I come to you to share his power as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. Amen. And our benediction. Go now in peace, be prepared to laugh with Sarah. Go in hope and be prepared for unexpected miracles. Go now in love, for the one who loves us goes with us. Amen. Y'all have a wonderfully blessed week. If you need anything, please contact me via email or call me directly. If you need my number, then reach out to me in email and we could speak, and I'll give you my number there, or you can send me your contact and I'll reach back out to you. So either way, I just ask that God bless you this week and that we see you soon. Amen.